Open hearts and open minds, we come before the Lord. May we receive all that He has to offer. God is good, and all the time. We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is a joy to be in His house, and we especially want to extend a welcome to any visitors who are with us today. And we would encourage you, if you'd like to know more about our church, to please fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. We say a great and hearty amen to the handbells. I can barely chew gum and walk at the same time, so I'm always impressed with what they are bringing to the service, and we appreciate them being here today. Also want to acknowledge and ask for you to pray for our senior high youth, as they return from their retreat this weekend. They've been away. They've been digging deep into the Word of God, and now they're making their way back this morning, and we want to continue to remember them as they travel. This past week, we observed as a nation Veterans Day, honoring those who served their country through military service. And we want to pause for a moment in this service to acknowledge those who are veterans. If you are a veteran, we ask that you would please stand if you are able. Today, as we worship, as we said at the invitation, you are invited to have an open heart and an open mind and to receive what the Lord is offering you in worship. As we come to our opening scripture, Psalm 98, would you hear now the word of God? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and his people with equity. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, we call this the invocation, but sometimes we wonder what we are invoking when we come into this place. We come with mixed emotions and mixed experiences. We have all traveled different paths to bring us to this very hour. Many of us are fretting over a week to come, already thinking over a to-do list that seems endless. We have deadlines, bills to pay, family members that are sick. There's a lot to worry about. Some of us are reeling from the week past. We had hardships or trials or difficulties, and they still weigh heavy on our minds, even as we sit in this place called sanctuary. We wonder what we are invoking when our minds are often in another place, in another time. We ask, O God, that you recenter us here and now on your Spirit. May your Spirit fall fresh upon us in this place. May your Spirit draw our minds and our attention to your name, the name we invoke, the name that we seek, the name that we honor and worship. And Lord, we expect to meet you here. And we expect that when we leave this place, we will never be the same, that there is no going back, that you would transform us by the renewing of our minds, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you are able, we invite you to stand together as we sing our hymn of praise, Jesus Messiah.
I'm Henry Blackaby.
And I'm Richard Blackaby.
And he's my oldest son.
And he's my oldest father. We're glad that each of you could be a part of this study of experiencing God.
Could I say to you, without a question, it is impossible when God encounters you for you to stay where you are and go with God at the same time. You're going to have to leave something. There's going to have to be some major adjustments. And many don't go with him because they don't want to get out of the comfort zone of where they are.
God is at work all around where you are, in your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. He is at work. And what we need to pray is, oh God, would you open my eyes to see what you're doing? And when I see, God, help me to have the courage to join you and to be a part of the great work that you're doing.
Experiencing God is simply a tool. The one who will change you is God himself. Do you sense that you have any need of some help into that life-transforming encounter with God? Experiencing God is a tool. Experiencing God doesn't change you. The God that you come to know because we've helped you to know how to know him, Now he will change you.
I normally don't have to talk so much during the service, but I'm filling in for someone in several places this morning. But we want to just say a little word about the video you just witnessed. That was an introduction to a 13-week study called Experiencing God. It is not a new study. It's been around for quite some time. In fact, when I was a teenager, our youth group did Experiencing God for Youth. And behind this 13-week study is the question, how do you know the will of God? You saw in that video there was a depiction of Moses and there behind him the burning bush. Well, I don't know about you, but I have yet to have God speak to me through the voice of a burning bush. How do you know what God wants you to do? How do you know what God's will is for your life, for your family? How do you know where God is leading you and taking you? And it's a powerful, transformative 13-week study. And that line has stuck with me my whole life. You cannot stay where you are and go with God. We are inviting you as a church to participate in this, knowing that if you enter into this study, you cannot stay where you are and go with God. You cannot stay where you are mentally, spiritually, in terms of your biblical knowledge and understanding that God is calling each of us somewhere in our lives. This study will begin on January 15th of 2017. We're inviting all of you to participate if you're able. We'll have this study offered together. You do it for 5 days during the week at home on your own as a personal devotion. And then we'll gather on Sundays in groups to talk about what we're learning, to take it perhaps deeper. And we're offering two separate groups, one during Sunday school and then one in the evening during our adult Bible study. So there are two separate group times that you can participate in. But what we're asking for you to pick one of those and stay with that same group throughout the 13 weeks. Also, do not let the January 15th date scare you. We know that not everyone will be able to attend every single group meeting. But we encourage you nonetheless, if you can't make it on that first one, or if you can't make it on any of them, to stick with it, to participate nonetheless. In fact, if you are completely unable to attend either group, you can still purchase the workbook and be studying the same lessons that the rest of the church is studying. The cost for the books is $17. If that's a struggle for you or going to be a burden for you and your family, maybe there's several from the same family that are wanting to participate, you can either talk to me or to Corey, and we can talk about scholarship options for you. But again, that study will start on January 15th. We encourage you to sign up as soon as possible so that we can go ahead and order those books. Experiencing God, we trust, will be a life-changing event, not only for you as individuals, but for us as a church as well. As we continue to worship, we come now to the time of our offertory hymn, Soon and Very Soon, number 192. If you're able, would you please stand?
One of my favorite hymns.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying.
Let us pray together. Father God, you are good to us. And we thank you for all your many blessings. We pray right now that you bring just a small portion of those blessings back to you, that you would find favor with the giver. And Lord, as we now leave call over these shoeboxes that are going around the world, these Christmas boxes, Lord, we pray that you will find, that they will find the hearts of the kids there, that wherever they may be, and that each gift will bring joy and comfort and open the gospel to these children's lives. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
As we consider the state of our world these days, and the state of the world all over the world, would you consider these words of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Then Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to cure every disease and every sickness. The Lord always blesses the reading and the hearing of his word. As we enter into a time of prayer now, rather than offering a confession for us as a church, I want to open the room for you to offer prayers. Prayers for our congregation, prayers for our community here in Elon, prayers for our nation and our world, or any prayer that is heavy on your heart. And after a time of offering you the opportunity to pray out loud, I will close our prayer together. Let us bow our heads.
the harvest, we pray that you send your workers into the harvest fields to bring light where there is darkness, hope where there is hopelessness, healing in the face of brokenness, that you would cast out all that is sick and diseased within us and those around us. We pray that your Spirit blow like breath again into the nostrils of this world, causing it to come alive again. We pray you heal divisions, build bridges, mend hearts that are broken. Draw brother back to brother and sister to sister. We pray that you heal our land. We pray, Father, that each of us would do our part to build the kingdom, that we would be faithful and obedient, that we would have hearts filled with love and forgiveness and mercy and grace, even as it has been shown to us, that we will be a people who walk humbly, who love mercy, and who do justice. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Our sermon this morning is a work in progress that, in light of many things that I've seen on social media and in the news over the last week, I would say that the title has changed from No Freeloaders to What Now? As the dust has settled from a very vicious election cycle, what now? Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, our question that we wrestle with together is not simply what now, but how do we respond to all that we see and all that's around us in this world? What should our minds be set on? What actions should we take? What path would be the path of Jesus? Oh, great teacher, teach us, and may we learn. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. As I thought about this sermon and just reviewing what all is going on in our nation these days, literally these days, and seeing how its fingers reach deep into the history of our nation, I began to wonder what kind of message would the Lord have us wrestle with together. And it seemed like what I had prepared was woefully inadequate and misdirected. And so I have wrestled and still wrestle. We're flying off the cuff here, folks. We're going off script. But as I began to wrestle, at least I knew this, that there are three words that tend to come to my mind when I think about where we are as a people. Three words. There are many words that could be said. There are many messages that could be preached. But there are three things that I think that our nation and perhaps we here in this room need to consider and hear. First of all, I think that God would call us to act more honorably, with more civility, with more nobility and peace. I'm reminded of the words of Philippians chapter 3, in which it is written, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." What a timely word for us. Keep on doing what is right and what is just and honorable, what is full of peace and peace giving. Because I think what I see is I just look, if I had no news but social media news, we see a lack and a loss of civility. We see a lot that is not honorable and is not peace giving or peace infusing. I think part of that is because one of the great evils of social media is that we can be so anonymous. We see a post or something that's clever or funny, and with a single click, we have made a statement that could be hurtful, harming, divisive, with a single, completely anonymous click. There is a lot of power in a single click, isn't there? And without even thinking about it, really being completely thoughtless, if we're honest, we may have hurt someone deeply. We may have wounded a friendship. We may have severed a tie. And it's supposed to be the tie that binds, isn't it? There's not much that is honorable and noble and civil in a lot of the discourse we are hearing from politicians, from news talking heads, from corners and gathered circles around the water cooler in the workplace. And I think that this anonymous spirit there breeds a lot of that publicly. I'll never forget driving with a sweet little old lady, or I wasn't driving, she was driving, many churches ago, just a very quiet, calm, mild-mannered lady But behind the wheel, she was a beast. And she used words that I cannot repeat in church. And used that horn and her fist, because she would never do that to a person in line at Walmart or in the grocery store. But there in that, something is being revealed about us, isn't there? That there is a lot of anger. That we live in a very divided country. Does that come as news to you? I imagine if we asked everyone in here and we forced you to confess who you voted for, we would see a great array of votes. There might even be some Gary Johnson people in here. I don't know. But we have not been quite this divided since the days before the Civil War. Many historians are acknowledging that. But I would say that they're wrong. We've been just as divided. We just haven't had that catalyst to focus that division and that anger. And that's degrading our love for our fellow human beings. We see protesters rioting. That's not very honorable. We hear in the news that the Ku Klux Klan is organizing a rally right here in Alamance County. You know, there's not a lot different between those two groups, is there? In some ways, one is acting out of fear and anger because their candidate lost. The other is acting out of fear and anger because their candidate won. And what we need is to walk away from all of that divisiveness for a moment and step back from it. And ask ourselves, am I getting caught up in this in any way? Am I becoming a part of this destructiveness? Am I becoming so indoctrinated into the message of my party or my group or my club that I can't see what's really going on around me? What's the cure? How do you find this honorable, just, pure, pleasing, peaceful attitude and mindset? Would you agree that what we need as a country is forgiveness? To forgive one another? There is a lot of mean things posted on Facebook and Twitter. There are a lot of mean things said by candidates. And what we need is not the kind of forgiveness that's acted out in display with forced smiles and business-like handshakes between a lame duck and a president-elect, but real forgiveness. A forgiveness that comes from the heart. Now, we may scratch our heads and say, how can we forgive Aunt so-and-so for what she said at the dinner table the other night? Or how can we forgive what I saw posted on someone's Facebook page? Or how can I forgive what that politician said or did? It seems like a hard thing to forgive, but is it? You know just as well as I do that people have forgiven far worse in our world. When I was in Germany pastoring the church there in Wiesbaden, one of my members, a lady named Sally, she was from Sierra Leone. And how did she make her way to Germany? Well, initially, she made her way out of Sierra Leone in a barrel, sealed up tight for days without food or water or no private place to relieve herself. There, escaping for her life. Why? She was fleeing Operation Kill Every Living Thing. In our Western media, you may not have even heard of that before. But for her, it was life and death. Chased out of a country for race. She was the wrong group, a part of the wrong party, if you will. And chased out for her life, she fled in fear. And yet, if you were to meet Sally today, you would see nothing but joy and life and love. She told me that she gained a lot of her inspiration from her favorite band. Here's another band you probably never heard of, the Sierra Leone All-Star Refugee Band. You know, it's on your playlist, isn't it? The Sierra Leone All-Star Refugee Band was a group of people who fled just like Sally and found themselves in Freetown, a refugee camp. And these people who were all very musical and talented, they scrapped together junk and made instruments and formed a little band, and they were good. The lead guitarist, Francois, he made a guitar out of a hubcap and some old piano wires, and you'd be envious, Jimmy. He was good. And they formed a band singing songs about peace and love and hope and forgiveness. Many years ago, I watched a BBC documentary about the Sierra Leone All-Star Refugee Band, and they were interviewing Francois, the lead of the band, and they asked him, "What do you think about what was done to you back in Sierra Leone?" And he told his story about how they came into his village, how they forced him to watch, eyes pried open, as his whole family was executed, his wife, his children, aunts, uncles, dear, trusted friends, everyone. They beat him and beat him and beat him and left him for dead. And somehow Francois made it. He's alive and kicking. And they asked him, in light of that story, what do you think about those villainous, murderous attackers? And with an enormous beaming smile, he said, "I forgive them. I love them. I forgive them." The interviewer said, "How, Francois, can you forgive them?" And his response shook me, as it should shake you. He said, "Jesus forgave me. What else can I do?" What a question. In the end, that is the question. What else can we do but forgive? All the hate is nothing. All the fear is nothing. All of the acts that we might act out in anger or fear are nothing. The only thing we can really do is forgive. To forgive, as we have been forgiven. I don't need to quote a scripture for you on that. You know full well, verse after verse after verse, forgive as we have been forgiven. Jesus loved me. Jesus forgave me. What else can I do but forgive? But real forgiveness, just like real civility, is born not in a mindset, but in a heart set. It's born in love, isn't it? That's the key. There's nothing new about that. The key to it all is to love our brothers and sisters as Christ has loved us. To love as we have been loved. I'm going to tell you a story about an individual who came from a very good family, a positive family. Everything should have gone so well with their life, and yet they made choices. You can be the best parent in the world and still have a rebellious child. You could do everything right and say everything right and discipline just the right way, but still have a child who lives their life out of control and recklessly. And this was the story of this person, out of control, reckless, making terrible choices, breaking every law that they could break, squandering all that they had been given in life, completely disregarding their father, completely running away from home and all that is sacred, until he finds himself at rock bottom, his heart shutting down on him, kidneys, livers, all failing, his body failing, and he found himself finally at conviction point. And according to the story, the father manages to get his son completely off. He confesses, he said, "No, it wasn't him, it was me. I did it all." And somehow, even though the son thought his dad was invincible, his dad dies suddenly. But it was a blessing for the son because he was able to use his father's heart to replace his own. If you haven't caught on yet, who is the person in the story? It is me and it is you. And the Father is God Almighty. When you put it in those very legalistic human terms, the story becomes shocking again. Just what did God do for you and in your life? Just what did God do for me? Paid all the price of the penalty of our mistakes. And even though we'd broken every law imaginable in the book, and even though we had squandered all that he had given us and run away from all that was perfect, and even though he was the perfect father who did everything right, we still became reckless and lived our life in waste. And yet he turned it all around for us. All the charges were dropped in an instant. It cost his very life, but he paid the price. Not only that, he gave us a heart transplant, a new heart, and infused us with the possibility to love, a real love, not a superficial, I love you, man, not a surfaced, showy love, not a love that's fake and just to satisfy our own sense of guilt, but a real, genuine love. And that kind of love allows us to see each other, to see people who are not like us, to see people we might ought to be angry with or even hate, but to see them as God sees them through the lens of love. I leave you this morning with the immortal words of 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter. But again, it's a chapter not about some romantic, warm, fuzzy kind of sentimentality. It's about the love of God, agape love, that we are called to have towards each other, no matter how far away from them, from us they are politically or theologically, no matter how deeply they may be in sin, no matter how wretched they may be living their lives. God calls us to have this in our hearts for our fellow human beings. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. You know, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became adult, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, only dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Soon and very soon indeed. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray for your spirit of peace and love to surround us, to bind the people of this great nation together with one heart and one accord, to level and destroy all hate and bitterness and envy and pride, to wash away all fear, to fill our hearts with peace. We pray that it would begin here and now in this very room. That here we might be the body of Christ. Though we are all different, may we be one body. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is, I Surrender All. I would invite you to take the hand of those that you love around you, those that are near you, as we sing together, not only a hymn, but a statement of faith and a call to action. Because all love is possible when we do what? When we surrender all. If you're able, would you stand? Joy it is to be a part of First Baptist Church of Elon, where we may show the world together what love looks like. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May the God who is love be in your heart this week, bringing you peace and giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to love your neighbor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.